This is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes. You're listening to station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin, and it's Saturday, September 2nd, 1939. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Lou has news flashes and correspondent reports from the new war in Europe. I'm afraid George G. Newton will be in with the latest real estate deals. We'll have our Saturday night oldies, music from the Roaring Twenties, folks. And Harriet Farig will take a look at what's playing at the local theaters, including a new movie that's causing quite a stir, called The Wizard of Oz. You know, Lou, I went to the matinee today and saw it. You've got to give it a look-see.
The Wizard of Oz? What is it? Some gambling movie?
That's Lou Martin, folks, with the Newbery's 6 o'clock news. Newbery's back-to-school specials. Boys and girls get free yo-yos with each purchase of school supplies at Newbery's. Good evening, Lou.
Thanks, Jack, and good evening, listeners. A second war ultimatum demanding that German Chancellor Adolf Hitler withdraw his troops from Poland has been issued. War declarations by England and France have been delayed at least a day. The demand was made by British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain before the House of Commons. Foreign Minister Lord Halifax made a similar demand before the House of Lords today. Even so, Mr. Chamberlain says he expects only one answer from Hitler, and then only one reply from Britain and France. In Paris, the Chamber of Deputies has given Premier Edouard Daladier the power to declare war on Germany. The deputies, many looking sober in uniforms from the World War, adopted the power unanimously by a show of hands. In Berlin, the Soviet ambassador and 7 members of the Soviet military mission landed at Tempelhof Aerodrome for a meeting with their German allies. We begin our world report over shortwave radio with correspondent Webb Miller in London.
London calling, your correspondent Webb Miller here. This report has been passed through British wartime censors. Great Britain, fully armed and ready, decided today to wait a day before telling Germany and the world that it was going to war to defend Poland. There was no official word for the delay. Britain has already said it will take up arms to defend Poland against German aggression, but the Prime Minister Chamberlain wanted to give the Third Reich one last warning to pull out of Poland before the House of Commons meets at noon tomorrow. King George VI called a special session of the Privy Council to form a war cabinet. Throughout the night, civilians and soldiers, sailors and aviators, men and women worked to put Britain's defense complex, military machinery, and huge civil defense program at peak of efficiency. Britain is under compulsory blackout orders until further notice. In a dramatic speech behind sandbagged walls of his parliament today, Chamberlain says if Hitler refuses to withdraw his troops from Poland, both the British and French ambassadors in Berlin will ask for their passports, a customary act before a declaration of war. The nation is ready to march, fully aware of the task ahead. Removal of women, children, and invalids and the aged from metropolitan areas continues on an emergency basis. In London, this is United Press correspondent Webb Miller.
The evacuation of its mothers and children, its crippled and its blind. 3 million of those too weak to fight or to help are being moved from the so-called target areas of the large cities to sanctuaries in the British countryside. It is the greatest mass migration in all history. Now, to give you a first-hand account of this evacuation, Columbia calls in London and hears from Mr. Joly de Lobigny, head of the outside broadcast department of the British Broadcasting Corporation. We take you now to London.
But on number 12 platform at Waterloo Station, one of the 10 big metropolitan stations that are engaged today on the evacuation of London's school children. The train's in and the children are just arriving. I'd like to try and find one of the teachers who's going with them.
Yes.
Are you getting with them?
Yes.
Tell us now how many you've got to look after, yeah.
I've got 141 children and 16 people helping. They've come from one of the poorest districts in London, very near the famous Elephant and Castle, which no doubt many people have heard. They're all merry and bright. We haven't had a single child crying. And now I think really in my heart they're looking forward to this little adventure because many of them have never seen the country before. We're very grateful for all that's been done for us. And to all those who've helped us, we say thank you from the bottom of our heart.
1 minute, the train's leaving in 1 minute. Is it for our children? Come on, give them a song as you go.
Hip, hip. Come on now. Hip, hip.
This is the Third Reich, Berlin calling, correspondent Max Jordan reporting. The final warnings from London and Paris have arrived here. German Fuhrer Hitler and his advisors are working on the answer now. But if reports from German military sources are correct, a withdrawal from Poland is all but impossible. The reason? The Wehrmacht is plunging into Poland with a greater success than even the German commanders had hoped. Troops, tanks, and dive-bombing planes are meeting stiff resistance from Polish forces, but this new lightning warfare cannot be stopped by weapons from 1918. German advances continue on all fronts. The Polish city of Teschen is the first to fall. Klobuk has also been captured. It also appears Danzig and the Polish corridor are now in the hands of the Third Reich. In enthusiastic reports from the Nazi high command, the Luftwaffe has complete air superiority over Poland, and the troops striking from East Prussia are deep in Polish territory. They warn Britain that it will, quote, pay the bill if it enters the war on behalf of Poland. Meanwhile, Polish Ambassador Joseph Lipski left Berlin this morning. I asked him if this meant a complete rupture in possible mediation. He told me with the look of a man who had not slept in many days that, quoting again, it's hard to apply old terms to a new situation. Many accepted terms of international law go by the board these days, unquote. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling correspondent Virgil Pinkley in Poland. Come in, Warsaw.
This is Warsaw, Poland. Correspondent Virgil Pinkley here. In just one day, the landscape of this historic city has changed to one of sandbags, ditches, smoke, and dust. Warsaw's age-old nemesis, Germany, has reportedly bombed most of its cities in the first 2 days of battle. The damage here isn't great, not yet. Morale is high, and the people are manning their stations, urged on by Polish President Ignacy Mosicki. Still, many citizens have been hurt, some killed. In all, 19 Polish cities have been bombed from the air. Polish military officials say they have shot down 100 German tanks and destroyed 34 German planes. They also deny that Danzig has fallen, with a brave band of Poles defending the fortress Westerplatte at the mouth of the Vistula River. The fortress is comparable to the underground system of heavy guns along the French Maginot Line. They are called a suicide company, provisioned to hold the fort for 6 months. Reporting from Warsaw, this is Virgil Pinkley. Calling Washington, come in, John Hightower.
Hightower here at the nation's capital. President Roosevelt will take to the airwaves tonight at 8 o'clock. Pledged to keep the United States out of the European war, FDR will talk about the entire war situation. It is expected that the president will talk about the Neutrality Act, which does not allow U.S. companies to sell arms to warring nations. U.S. Senator Bloom of New York is the head of the Foreign Relations Committee. He expects Congress to meet in special session later this fall to repeal the Neutrality Act and allow the sale of weapons and ships to belligerents. That move would be opposed by some Senate Republicans. Senator Borah of Idaho says the sale of arms led to our entry into the World War. It is expected that lifting the arms embargo would benefit England and France, since they control the Atlantic. In Washington, John Hightower, United Press.
Führer Adolf Hitler has telegrammed President Roosevelt agreeing unconditionally to his request not to bomb undefended cities and to concentrate only on military targets. Hitler says he has given strict orders to his pilots to keep their actions against military installations. President Roosevelt had telegrammed world leaders urging them not to bomb civilian targets. British sources say the Duke of Windsor will end his exile on the Riviera and fly back to England. The former king will be accompanied by his American-born wife, Wallace Warfield. The Duke began a self-imposed exile after his abdication of the throne on December the 11th of 1936. In news from home, many churches are encouraging racial unity. Dr. F.D. Patterson of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama says there's been an incredible drop in the number of lynchings since churches started teaching racial tolerance in Sunday school and sermons. Only 3 Negroes have been lynched in the first 6 months of 1939. In their meeting at Atlanta, the Baptist Congress was not segregated. Dr. Patterson says it's no longer unusual for a black minister to speak to a white church and a white minister to a black congregation. Newberry News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Life goes on here in the United States, Lou. And life is certainly going on at Newberry's in Superior. They're ready for school with bargains galore, including pencils, pens, drawing compass, paper, rulers, and anything else your students need in the school room. And if I remember right, we needed erasers, too. And listen to this. There will be a free yo-yo for customers who spend 50 cents. It's Newberry's for your school supplies, folks. Don't you dare miss it. So, Lou, you any good with a yo-yo?
Not really. I get one yo, and that's it. 3 United States senators toured the Duluth Superior Port today as part of a fact-finding mission on neutrality legislation. Minnesota Farmer Labor Senator Hendrick Shipstead and Senator A.O. Stanley, chairman of the International Joint Commission, and Senator James Murray of Montana have been studying border ports over the past 5 days. Senator Shipstead said at a banquet at the Hotel Duluth that he's not sure the current neutrality law will do much good. He favors changing it. Meanwhile, there's been a spurt in iron ore shipments from the head of the lakes, perhaps because of the war. Orders will more than double the total of last year's and may even top the all-time record set 2 years ago in 1937. Shipping activities are up in Ashland, too. Orders from the Gogebic Range in Michigan's Upper Peninsula are up 50% in the past month from a year ago. Chicago and Northwestern and Soo Line Railroad companies are operating at a brisk pace. 30 vessels called on Ashland in the past 10 days. And finally, Bayfield has a new harbor light installed at the end of Bayfield's East Dock. The light is the harbor's first navigational aid. The light is the harbor's first navigational aid. And that, Jack, is the news.
Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen.
What? No crack about how I'm the best newsman in the room or the best radio newsman for the hard of hearing?
You do a yeoman's job with the news, Lou.
Right, that yo-yo thing again.
Hey, we've got lots coming up, including the Wizard of Oz. That forecast from the United States Weather Bureau for this Saturday night, September 2nd, 1939. Thunder showers again tonight and tomorrow, with gentle temperatures for this early September. Low tonight of 55 degrees, and Sunday's high should be around 70 degrees. Can't beat summers at the head of the lakes. Let's get to our wax recordings now. From the Roaring Twenties for Saturday Night Oldies, always a favorite just for you good listeners, from 1927, this is the Harmonians, and I'm looking over a four-leaf clover on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. From the days of Black Bottoms and the Charleston, that's the Harmonians, and I'm looking over a four-leaf clover on station KUWS. Hey, that sounded so good. Let's just keep kicking up our heels. From 1929, then, here's Fats Waller and a handful of keys on the Martin and McKenna Saturday Night Oldies Show. Don't make them like that anymore. From RCA Victor, that's Fats Waller and a handful of keys. Apparently, he used that little number to win cutting contests in Harlem. Good stuff, eh, Lou?
It's time for our favorite real estate agent, Mr. George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty.
Our favorite?
Jack, boy, you are such a kidder, you. But, you know, it's hard to be my old humorous self these days. I mean, did you just listen to Lou's news?
Lou's news? After all these years, I didn't realize that Lou's news rhymes. Lou's news. News of Lou's.
Certain things catch Jack's ear, George, and news isn't usually one of those things.
Lou's blues news. News Lou's can use.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Anyway, what's happening in Europe is real. It's unbelievable, but real. And just 21 years after the World War. You know, some people are already calling this World War II. Can you imagine that?
It doesn't make any sense.
Would that be the rhyming with my name, or Europe?
You would think if any nations would bend over backward to avoid war, it would be European countries.
But everyone is bending over backwards except Germany. You know why?
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Jack?
Because even though Germany lost the World War, the battles were fought in France and the Low Countries. The German people didn't experience the horrors of war, yet they were punished by an untenable Treaty of Versailles that left them bitter and wanting revenge.
Holy smoke.
He Lou? Does that once in a while. Periods of extreme lucidity. Kind of makes you want to get to the reason that you're here, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right.
What?
George G. Newton Realty has got some great rental deals for all you folks out there in Radio Land. I got to tell you, I got a nice five-room house in Billings Park. It's near the schools. It's built just 11 years ago in 1928. Just $30 a month to rent. How about that? Now, if you're on a real tight budget, you listen up. I got a small apartment with heating, water, and light all included. Just $14 a month. 1612 17th Street. And I got a couple of special items just for the radio audience, Jack and Lou. A violin with its case and a bow. You can have it for $25. Get it for your kid. It might be the next Yasha Heifetz.
Or Jack Benny.
Yes. I got a ladies' muskrat coat, too. It's like new. $15.
That's not real estate, George.
Hey, things are still tough, Lou. Sometimes people end up paying me with what they got because they haven't any money. Old man depression's still hanging on. Well, that's it, guys. I'm done. But Jack, boy, I'm never going to look at you the same way.
You know, a lot of people say that to me. By George.
Or by George.
Bye-bye.
Don't get goofy on me, Lou. On with the music, folks. Then we'll be off to see the wizard. Here's the 1929 hit, Too Late, by New Orleans' own King Oliver and his orchestra on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS. That's a fine number from the guy who brought New Orleans jazz to wax. That's King Oliver, and Too Late on station KUWS.
It's time for entertainment editor Harriet Feurig now with what's playing at the theaters. Harriet, as always, you light up the room.
And you, Lewis, always light me up.
What are you guys, a couple of fireflies?
Jack, really? We've got some real thrillers. So exciting at the People's Theater. It's a skid, a roar, and a crash. They're showing Indianapolis Speedway starring Ann Sheridan and Pat O'Brien. The Beacon also features Fox News reels with Lou Lair and a Gibbons adventure cartoon. Playing at the Beacon are the exciting stars from Love Affair, Charles Boyer and Irene Dunne in When Tomorrow Comes. Plus a special feature, the Dionne Quintuplets turn 5 years old. The Superior Theater is showing Culling Dr. Kildare with Lionel Barrymore, plus newsreel and a Lone Ranger and a Donald Duck cartoon. Sounds perfect for you, Jack.
Nope. I want to go to the Wizard of Oz with you, too.
Then I'll tell our friends out there listening that the Princess Theater, where tickets are just 15 cents, is showing Captain Fury, Hal Roach's new film starring Brian Ahern and Victor McLaughlin. There's also a Paramount newsreel and a Betty Boop cartoon.
Boop, boop, de boop. I'm sorry. I just couldn't help it.
I understand. And now, the big movie everyone is talking about, The Wizard of Oz.
The lizard has claws?
No.
Lewis is just trying to be funny, Jack.
This is great. They've got the Scarecrow and Tin Man and Chicken Lion and scary bad flying monkeys and witches and a horse that changes colors and munchkins.
Okay, stop right there. I won't even ask you about the Chicken Lion. But what is a munchkin? Some new candy bar?
No, Lou. Nothing to eat. Although there are the Lollipop Guild kids, and then those scary guards who sing Oreo or something.
Sounds impossible, but Jack is mostly right. L. Frank Baum's original story of The Wizard of Oz is playing for a limited engagement at the Palace in downtown Superior, starring 14-year-old Judy Garland, along with Ray Bolger, Burt Lair, Frank Morgan, and Jack Haley. It's in wonderful Technicolor. I think we should go, Lewis. It's a musical.
You love musicals, but Jack, you don't like musicals.
They sing a few tunes in the movie, but with all the stuff that's going on, you don't even notice. But speaking of music, I have the first release from The Wizard of Oz. This is Judy Garland and Somewhere Over the Rainbow on the Martin and McKenna Show. Please, Lou, can we go? Please?
Well, okay.
Why?
Gee Whiz, a gorgeous number sung by the talented youngster Judy Garland, Somewhere Over the Rainbow on Station KUWS. Lou, you have some news flashes before we go.
This flash from Paris. The Chamber of Deputies gives Hitler a last chance warning. While French troops pour to the front and civilians evacuate Paris. From Ottawa, Canada orders censorship under the War Measures Act. From Canberra, Australia declares a state of danger of war. From Auckland, New Zealand pledges full support for Britain. From London, the House of Commons voted to extend conscription for men 18 to 41 years old. And this flash, Winston Churchill has been added to the war cabinet. From Oslo, King Haakon declared Norway's absolute neutrality in any European war. And that's the latest news, Jack.
I think I'll have extra butter on my popcorn.
We might just as well live a little.
So we're off
to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
If this continues, we won't be sitting together.
That's it, folks. We'll be back, we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing and the wicked Witch of the West doesn't scare Lou too badly. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing you a wizard good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheim, Al Cass, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week, at this time, for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.